I was shocked the other day at a youth event Jacob had planned, and he had some trivia on Christmas movies. I was shocked at how many of the teenagers have never seen My Favorite Christmas Movie. It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah, Pastor Ray gave me a thumbs up. So if you're a teenager and you haven't seen that, spoiler alert during the message today. It has become one of the classic Christmas movies of all time. As you know, the plot involves an angel named Clarence trying to get his wings, a man named George who has hit bottom and wishes he had never been born. With permission from above, George gets his wish. He was never born. His influence through the years is removed. He gets to see what the world, including his little town and those he had come to love, would have been like without him. Well, today I want to take that theme and apply it to Christianity in three different areas. Let's pray as we begin. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your people that have gathered in a very busy time of the year, but a time that we really do want to set aside time to think about our Savior, to think about that gift. And so this morning, Lord, as we look at your word and as I've picked what could be a pretty strange movie to talk about Christian things, but also a pretty strange passage, Lord, I hope everybody will see the connection. So give us insight, and then later on, Lord, help us to be honest as we ponder some things about this past year and the year to come. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. First, I would like you to think what life would be like if God didn't exist and that evolution was, in fact, true. If Jesus had never come, if the Messiah had never even been promised, I want to think through what impact would that have on our world? I actually thought of some benefits to that. Okay? Since our society would probably come up with some general rules of what's right and wrong, basically, if there's no God, there's no moral judge, you can do anything you want to. And inwardly, we would all kind of like to be able to do that. Just make up your own rules. We're going to see the difficulty of that. You don't ever have to feel guilty because there's no power of Christ in you to help you to do the right thing. So why feel guilty about it? And frankly, you don't need to come here. You don't need to put any money in the offering because why would you? You can keep all your money, spend it on yourself, your family. You can spend your time as you choose. And that's actually about the only three weird benefits that I would see if the Lord didn't exist. What are some of the disadvantages? And I wanted to keep this message under 90 minutes. And so I picked several, but we're only going to kind of comment on a few of those. First is, obviously, there's no Christmas. If there's no coming of a Messiah, there's no Christmas to celebrate. There's no reason for gift exchange because we sort of pattern that after the gifts of the wise men. There's no Easter. If there's no Messiah, there's no resurrection. All we have is bunnies and chocolate. I'd keep the chocolate part. But yeah, there's no Easter. There's no basis for morality or ethics. If there is no holy God that exists, who has told us and told the world, these are the standards, then there aren't any rules for us to follow. We really get to what happened at the end of the book of Judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes, and we know that that's going to cause Israel lots of issues. Life is going to be utter chaos as we all just think, what's best for me? What's best for my family? And who cares about anybody else? But let's make it even worse. Let's assume there is a holy, righteous God, but there's no Jesus. There's no Messiah. The theme of It's a Wonderful Life is that George Bailey's influence is erased, So what would life be like for us if the Messiah had never come, if he had never been promised? I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Revelation. Because the most obvious answer is, if Jesus isn't here, but there's a holy and righteous God, then with no Messiah, there's no salvation. There's no remedy for sin. No one would have been perfect enough to somehow appease God's wrath. I want to look at up through the beginning of verse 6, Revelation chapter 5. And again, I'm sure you've never read it in this context, but read it in the context of, what if the Lamb, who's we're going to see in those verses, what if he didn't exist? What if he didn't show up? Follow as I read. Revelation 5, beginning in verse 1. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. I wept and wept because no one was found who is worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. And we'll just pause in the middle of that verse, because the next part of that takes us into the next section. So let's break down these kind of phrase by phrase. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, God the Father. Okay? A book. Now, it's not a book like we think of the books that we go to the library to get. It would have been a scroll. Scrolls in those days took different forms, but this was very possibly one of those that roll in from both edges. There were scrolls that simply were one long spool, but this is very possibly one of those that you've seen them. You can kind of hold them out there and read. But what was in the scroll? Because the scroll plays a really important part in that. Okay? There's that book, that scroll, written inside and on the back. So what is it? Well, if you look at the context of the book of the Revelation, the best guess we can come up with, and especially in the context of Revelation 5, is that it's the title deed to the earth. Because, if you remember, Satan is called the god of this world. In a limited way, God has granted him temporary ownership of this world to attempt to deceive it, to bring its people into sin and ultimate destruction. And someone needs to get that back from him. Now, title deeds in those times, what would happen is they would write all the details on the inside, then they would roll it up, and then they'd just put kind of the summary on the outside. So that's a possibility, okay? But Satan has been given limited ownership of the earth, and somebody needs to get that back from him. And nobody was found worthy. There are pretty strict requirements for the person who can open a contract in those days, the scroll in this chapter, and nobody was found worthy. And so he wept. Because unless that person can be found, Satan is going to continue to rule this world. And so John is weeping. No one is worthy. I don't know if he had in his mind when he was writing this, what Paul said in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all in the same boat in that sense. We have a sin nature. We sin by action and by thought. So nobody was worthy, and John is going, we are in deep trouble. But John's lament was a little premature. The elders reassured him that there actually is someone who is worthy. Now, the worthy one is described in a couple ways. So look back with me in the text. He's called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. This comes from the patriarch Jacob. When Jacob, at the end of the book of Genesis, and he's declaring his blessing on his sons, in the tribe of Judah, describes him as a lion's cub, then as a lion. And Jesus came from the tribe of Judah, and Jacob described him that way. He's called the Root of David. This comes from Jeremiah the prophet, chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. Don't need to turn there. And then chapter 33, verses 15 to 17. He's described as the Root of David. Jesus describes himself this way. Keep your finger in chapter 5, but look at chapter 22. So jump ahead to chapter 22. Showing some internal consistency in the book of the Revelation. So Revelation 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the Root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. He's the Root of David. Jesus came through the lineage of David. He's also called a lamb. I've always enjoyed that passage because of the contrast. See the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, and what do you see? You see a lamb. You would expect like Aslan, you know, from Chronicles. You're expecting this big lion and power and all that kind of stuff. And he looks and he's going, whoa, that's a lamb. John the Baptist declared Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, John 1:29. Throughout the New Testament, Jesus is declared and proved himself to be the spotless Lamb of God, as Peter says in 1 Peter 1:19. Jesus was worthy, so salvation was available. The world doesn't and won't remain in Satan's control. But take Jesus out of the picture, there is no one worthy. There is no salvation available. Satan continues to rule the world. We are simply doomed to eternal punishment. If Jesus never came, but there is a holy God, you and I are in big trouble. Just ponder that for a second. What if Jesus hadn't come? Let's continue. We'd have no idea what God is really like. We can only learn so much from nature. And I've been a student of astronomy since I can remember. But there's only so much that you can learn from nature. In Colossians 2, verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in godly form. John 1, verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. So picture with me, let's just remove the New Testament and picture the impression of God that we get from just the Old Testament. Now, we know that God doesn't change. Okay, but what would we know about that God if all we had was the Old Testament? We would have a very skewed understanding. There is mercy. There is grace in the Old Testament. But the picture that we get often is commanding people to destroy cities, destroy nations, kill every man, woman, and child, and a couple people grab onto the ark, which was showing huge disrespect to the Lord, and they're killed. And we get that sort of that idea, but yet Abraham believed, had faith, it was rendered him as righteousness. There is faith, there is grace, there is mercy in the Old Testament, but we would really have a very different idea of who God is if it wasn't for the New Testament. No Jesus, no need for a New Testament. And I just said, and some of these are going to be kind of similar. No New Testament, there's nothing to write about. There's no change in the way God deals with man. Salvation is in the Old Testament. It is there, but it is much more clear in the New Testament. No Jesus, no New Testament. And this one, and I say this understanding where some of you are, but understand my context, okay? We know that Jesus came, but if he hadn't, your loved ones are just gone. There's no Jesus. There's no salvation. There's no heaven. There's no looking forward to seeing, for me, my dad, for seeing a child that we never had, to all these things that we're looking forward to, why Christians can approach a funeral with grief but with hope. None of that. They're not waiting in heaven for you if Jesus didn't exist. Life becomes the survival of the strongest. One of our favorite TV shows, I want to borrow a phrase. Life becomes whatever it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast. Any Survivor fans here? No. Oh, the corniest, strangest reality TV, and you're missing it. But that's the whole premise. You start with a whole bunch of people, and they eventually get down to one who wins $1 million. So, outwit, outlast, and outplay. No ultimate example of love. How do I know how to love Barb? And by the way, I know she doesn't like being embarrassed, but I know that when I have an opportunity, today's her birthday. So if you go see her, today's also Jesse. Where's Jesse? Yeah, so I'm going to embarrass Jesse too. It's Jesse's birthday. Yeah, just put her hand up. So just go up there and go crazy wishing her happy birthday. Okay. But for my sake, don't tell her I told you. Because we're still going home. Anyway. But how do I know how to love her? Because I watch how Jesus interacted with people. I watched how Jesus interacted with his church, which frankly, in some ways, hasn't done a good job. In some ways, it's doing well, but in other ways, it hasn't. And how does Jesus respond to that? How did Jesus respond to a lost sheep? He told stories about that. You leave the 99 because you love the one. He's the one that told us that salvation is a free gift. He's the one that told us that his love is forever. He's the one that told us that there's nothing we can do that will put us out of the hand of God. If there's no Jesus, we don't have any clue how to really love. Life would make no sense. Chance reigns supreme. Loneliness is very real. If there's no Savior, then think of this. There's no one to whom you can go to when the hurts are so deep you can't talk to anybody else. And you go to Jesus because he's always there. If he's not there, you're by yourself. We're left to our own strength. There's no omnipotent being who is your friend, who comes alongside of you, helps in your burdens. There's nothing to appease God's anger. The only omnipotent being out there is your enemy. We're in trouble. Now, think of some effects on hospitals. Many were begun by Christians out of concern for the medical needs of people in a way to be able to share the gospel with them. That's what the medical work that our fellowship's involved and Three Strands is involved. Guatemala's involved not so much in the medical side, but in caring for people to be able to share the gospel. Okay? Effect on schools. Many colleges, including some Ivy League colleges, were designed to train theologians. If there's no real theology, there's no reason for their school. Missions work. There's no motivation for it. No schools, hospitals, clinics for the most needy people of the world. Think of relief agencies. There may be some philanthropic kind of people who would create something like an angel tree, a Samaritan's purse, those kind of things. But the driving force would be the goodwill of sinful people. There may be some. No one to plead your case before the Father. No one to be your advocate when Satan says, look at that guy. Do you, Lord, know the way he still thinks? Do you know what he does? Do you know what happens when people cut in front of him in the highway? Oh, I'm just sharing my stuff. No, but there's no one who is my advocate to say, yeah, I know. He's got a ways to go. He's mine. That's gone. No source of peace in pain or comfort in death, even when facing your own. When you're dead, you're dead. All you have to look forward to is a life of eternal pain and punishment. And that is a glimpse of what life would be like if Jesus didn't exist. And if a holy God did, and there's no Messiah. Frankly, I don't like that picture. And so we know from the scriptures, absolutely. That's why we celebrate this at Christmas, that Jesus came, the Messiah came. He was called Emmanuel, God with us. He's here. So we can look at every one of those, what I have, 20 different examples there. We can look at all of those differently because there's a Savior who's in charge. So, point one, don't worry, points two and three aren't nearly as long. So what would life been like if God didn't exist, or if God existed but Jesus didn't? What would life be like? What would our community, what would our world be like if Valley Grace didn't exist? Or to put it another way, what impact have we as a church made in 2021? And how can we make an impact for Christ in 2022? So I started thinking back through, and again, to keep this under 90 minutes, I'm picking just a few of the things that we as a church have been involved in, but let me say good job in some areas. How about how's Valley Grace made a difference in our church people? I think right now, even though traditional small groups hasn't worked well for us, we have more opportunities for people to get involved in Bible study and in discipleship than I think we've ever had. We have very specialized groups. So there's a specialized group for women right out of high school. Okay, and through into their 30s, and I don't think they ever limit it to anybody. So there's a specialized group because we don't want to miss meeting the needs of those folks. There's a specialized group for the men. I think that's junior in high school and older. It's a group that meets. Those groups both meet on Wednesdays every other week. There's a lot of things going on. There's a Tuesday evening Bible study that's available to anybody. There's a Wednesday afternoon Bible study. There's a family talk on Wednesday evening in here. There's lots of places where we're trying to give you opportunity to think about spiritual things and to learn from the scriptures. And there's a lot more of those. So connected with that, we're really working hard. Pastor Dan's made this a major project of this past year and into the next year, of coordinating our curriculum to make sure that we don't miss things. We would hate for you to be in your 60s and 70s and been in the church all, you know, most of your life, and you have no clue what the Trinity is. We just want to make sure we don't miss things. What is baptism? What is communion? What is, and to see how those all fit together. And a series coming up, I think Family Talk is, how did we get the Bible? Can we trust the Bible? And so there's lots of opportunities. So Pastor Dan's been working really hard on a coordinated way to move people through kind of a discipleship path. Better guest connections. Don't know if we have any guests this morning, but you guys are doing really well. We've had a lot of guests over the last several months. And when I get a chance to talk to them, you guys have done well. And by well, I mean that a couple of you have gone up and talked, and not 50 of you lining up, you know, to kind of somehow convince them this is their church now. And, you know, no, you guys have done really well with that. These things, how do we minister to our church people? It's a weekly topic at our staff meetings. So how has Valley impacted the community? Well, I thought of just a few eggs. Easter egg hunt. It was our largest group ever. Brighten the Night, largest group ever, I think. Micah's Backpack, bicycles for students at Hickory Elementary. Gift bags to 200 families in our direct neighborhood, supporting Mama D, feeding the needy in Hagerstown. And there's all kinds of things that we have been deliberately trying to do in our community. Can we do better? I'm sure we can. In fact, that's one of the major topics at our January missions team meeting is how can we better impact our community? How about our world? So Valley Grace has made an impact on us. It's made an impact in our community. What about the world? We raised and spent almost $20,000 in support of 8 missionary families or organizations around the world. We continue to play a major role in the ministries happening in Guatemala and in Haiti. Missions team is always looking for ways to make an impact globally. Can we do better? I'm sure we can. But I really think we're doing a pretty good job in our global missions. So has Valley made an impact, a positive impact? I think we really have. Has it been good for you, our community, our world that Valley existed? I think it has. But of course, the natural follow-up question is, how can we make a bigger impact in 2022 if the Lord tarries? Missions team is open to your suggestions. We just want to keep it forefront in our thinking. I want to introduce my last point with a video.
I've never been born at all.
What'd you say?
I said I wish I'd never been born.
Oh, you mustn't say things like that. Wait a minute. That's an idea. What do you think? Yeah, that'll do it. All right. You've got your wish. You've never been born. Don't you understand, George? It's because you were not born.
Well, if I wasn't born, who am I?
You're nobody. You have no identity.
Oh, what do you mean, no identity? My name's George Bailey.
There is no George Bailey. You have no papers, no cards. No driver's license, no 4F card, no insurance policy.
But where are the houses?
We weren't here to build them. Your brother Harry Bailey broke through the ice and was drowned at the age of 9.
That's a lie. Harry Bailey went to war. He got the Congressional Medal of Honor. He saved the lives of every man on that transport.
Every man on that transport died. Harry wasn't there to save them because you weren't there to save Harry.
Strange, isn't it? Each man's life touches so many other lives. And when he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole, doesn't he?
So, what would 2021 have been if you didn't exist? Or to put it another way, how have you made an impact on the world this past year? And how can you plan to make an impact for Christ in 2022? Obviously, I can't answer that question for you. I can only answer that for me. But what I want to do is throw out some areas, and I want you to think. I know that often we're trying to process so much during a message. I want to throw an area and just pause for a few seconds or so, 10, 15, whatever. Silence always seems to seem so long. But I want you to think, okay, what have I done that's impacted, for instance, your family? Just think about that for a minute. How would your family have been different if you weren't there? The people you work with, have you made an impact in the people you work with? The church. I just went through a number of things that we as a church have done, and frankly, without you, we couldn't have done any of them. So what role did you play? And how would it have been different if you weren't there? Your neighborhood, not only the neighborhood around the church, but the neighborhood in which you live. Have you made a difference in the lives of the people in your neighborhood? Your friends. How have their lives been touched by you this year? Is there anything you've deliberately done to influence your friends? How can you intentionally make an impact in those areas next year? What are some things you can do? Let me close with another video.
Get me back! Get me back! I don't care what happens to me! Get me back to my wife and kids! Help me, Clarence, please! Please! I want to live again! I want to live again! I want to live again! Please, God, let me live again!
You've made a difference this year. Our church has made a difference this year. Some of it we didn't even know. I love hearing about the ripple effect. I'm not sure whose idea it was at first to have Natalie sign during the choir. Whose idea was that? Is that Rebecca's? That was Natalie's idea. Okay. So if you're here for the Christmas Eve service, Natalie signed a song. I've heard at least two stories, and there's probably more, of people that were deliberately sent the link to that service because they had a deaf person that they wanted to hear that. I had no clue. And one was a family that Natalie knew, but the other, she would have had no idea. That ripple effect of our church, the ripple effect of you. At the end, obviously, George Bailey decided that losing the $8,000 wasn't that big a deal compared to what he would have lost if he weren't there. Let's rejoice in the lives that have been impacted for Christ this year and purpose to draw even closer in love, obedience, and service to him in 2022. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you came that first Christmas. And we celebrate the fact that God loved the world so much that he sent his son to be a person, to be a man, to be a Jewish man, to be a perfect Lamb of God who would then sacrifice himself so that all those things we talked about at the beginning of the message aren't true. We don't have to worry about those. So Lord, first of all, we rejoice in the salvation that's a free gift from the Lord Jesus to any who put their faith in him. And Lord, if there are some here in this room, some watching online that you're not sure if you've done that yet, please allow them to contact us somehow. But Jesus, you came so that you could die as the perfect Lamb of God. And thank you for that, that you could wrest the ownership of the world away from Satan. Lord, thank you for the impact that we as a church have made. Lord, we just think of all the lives globally, all the lives in our community and our families that have been impacted. Lord, thank you for each person and the impact that person has made as well. Lord, we rejoice in our Savior and for what he's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen.